It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful day to study the Word of God, as each and every day is a wonderful day. Please that you open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with verse 30, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter, John chapter 5, verse 30 through 47. So please open your Bible so that you can follow along. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write us a note, it would be the same address, Parkview Bible Church, 18th and Church Street, Hamilton, Illinois. The zip code is 62341, and if you'd please add the box number, box 43, and I'd love to hear from you. It's always great to study the Word of God. We're to come to know the Lord Jesus and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. That's the reason we continue to study the precious Word. Now, if you'd had an opportunity now to open your Bibles to John chapter 5, we will begin reading with verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I receive not the testimony from man. But these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath sent me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of myself, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom ye hath sent, him ye believe not. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Verse 39, Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? I love reading the precious Word. Now please, if you would join me in prayer before we begin the study. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come in today together with you into your Word and enjoy it. Be led by it, be so directed by it, Lord, that we may feel your power and your presence, that every step that we take, every direction that we take, Lord, is of you, and we know it to be of you. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within every believer. Thank you, Father, for the free gift of salvation that comes through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us to see both of those things very clearly, that we may walk each and every day to glorify and praise your name. Now, Lord, I ask that you'll guide and lead us now as we study these words today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have spent several weeks looking at the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment, the first resurrection, and the second resurrection, or second death, as it's referred to in the scripture. As I've said many times, and if you missed these, why, please write me a note and I'll be glad to send you a tape of it so that you can hear it. It's very important that we understand who is facing the first resurrection, who has the opportunity of the first resurrection, or who has to face the second resurrection or the second death if you refuse to come to the Lord Jesus. It's important for us to know who's going to be and what's going to take place at the Great White Throne Judgment, which is going to be for the lost. And the other side of it is the joy of going before the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ for the saved. And again, we've spent many weeks on those things, looking at who that involves. And those that are a part of the first resurrection will not have to face the second death. Those that have a part of the first resurrection will not have to spend 1 second in the lake of fire or the place of torment or what people call hell. It's not going to happen if you have a part of the first resurrection. And only those that have a part of the first resurrection are those that have come by faith to Jesus. So I hope that you've heard those weeks that we have spent and the time that we have talked about that across this program. But if you have missed it, why, please let me know so I can send you the tape so that you can hear it. It's so important that you know what's to come, because maybe you have refused the Lord Jesus and you need to find that you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, totally, completely separated from God. Some try to soft step and soften it and say that there is no hell, that there's nothing to come, and it's all in your mind, we've heard recently. Please, my friend, do not accept man's explanation trying to convince you to stay away from the Lord Jesus. And many of these people speak of Jesus out of one side of their mouth, and then they speak of not being a heaven or hell, and it's all in your mind and things of that sort out of the other side of their mouth. They're liars, my friend. And so please go to the Word of God and confirm. And that's the reason we spend the time that we do looking at the Word of God. And we have the question always comes, and many people refuse and do not trust in the Lord Jesus, do not believe that He has lived and died for them, for their sins. They do not believe that He was God. There's a lot of things that they do not believe, and man does not believe it today. Well, the man of today is no different than man of yesterday, because there are many folks, including the religious folks of the day that Jesus walked upon the earth, also denied the Lord Jesus and did not believe in Him. I hope that you're not one of them. I hope that you're not one that is walking with the tradition of man and have refused to come by faith to Jesus and be saved. We get so tied up and so close to the works of man today that we do not want to stir anything up, cause any trouble, and so we just quietly stay where we're at and continue to neglect such a free gift of salvation because the preacher in my church doesn't teach it that way. Or a friend of yours that you know that you go to church with, well, they don't believe it that way, so I guess I'm not going to either. I ask that you make your own mind up, and you make it up because you have listened to the Word of God very carefully. We have here in verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That's the problem with every one of us. We have a will, and that will and the will of the Father are different. Our own will and own desire is to serve self, to praise self, to worship self, and we give honor to men. We would rather praise somebody on what they're doing and lift them up in hopes, of course, that they would do the same to us at some time. And so as long as I take time to pat you on the back, why, I will expect that in return at some point in time. We do serve man, and we do pat each other on the back, and we are a very prideful people, and we do our own will. And you've heard people say that, you know, if I don't look out for myself, why, who's going to? We don't need to look out for ourselves. We don't need to build ourselves up or make ourselves look strong and mighty. We need to look unto the Lord Jesus and seek His will and let Him have His perfect will with our life. And Jesus Himself, the Son of God, speaks the same here in verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. He had totally and completely surrendered His will unto the will of His Father. The Father which is in heaven. Jesus is God, but He has taken on the body of a man, and He has come down to this earth for one purpose and one reason, and that is to seek and to save those that are lost. And the way He did that was to come to live, and as we'll find in a little bit concerning the testimony of His miracles that He performed, to prove that He was God. And then He went to the cross of Calvary, bearing every sin of every person that's ever lived upon His shoulders, and He died there. And He did that to take away your sin. And of course, death was not capable of confining, of keeping the Lord Jesus. And 3 days later, we find that He was raised from the grave and alive, and He's alive today, interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, for those of us that have come by faith to Jesus. For the rest of you, He is awaiting you to come to Him as inviting Him to come into your life to be their Savior. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you that you might live. So please come to Him today. I can of mine own self do nothing. He surrendered all. As I hear, I judge. He speaks the words of His Father. He has come to do the will of His Father. I wish that we would do the same today. I wish that we would come to do the will of the Son, the Lord Jesus, as He has done the will of the Father. And we have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us to do so, if we will surrender. It says, "But I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Now I have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary that would take my sin away. I serve a living God. I serve a God that speaks to me through the Holy Spirit directly to my heart, that I may serve Him and walk after Him. And the desire of every one of our hearts should be that we are serving Him and doing His will, not doing the will of my will, what I want to do, or what someone else would want me to do that I could please them. My life should be that I am pleasing God the Father. Now, I cannot please God the Father without coming to the Son, the Lord Jesus. And so you see, if I do what the Holy Spirit is directing me to do, and I know what that is because I search His Word and I listen very carefully to what He wants me to do. And so, by the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart while I'm studying His Word, while that's going on, I am receiving from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, the will of God. So you see, once you please one, we will please all three. Jesus came to do His Father's will. We should too carry out our Heavenly Father's will. And the only way we know that is to come to the Son, the Lord Jesus. And the only way you'll find the Son is through His Word. And when you search His Word, you will find it to be true. Please that you trust in Jesus today and walk after Him today. I'll read one more time in verse 30 and then we'll continue. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. In the Scripture it is said that there needed to be two or three witnesses to confirm, to establish a truth. There had to be two or three witnesses. And Jesus here, of course, Himself was standing there. And Jesus had performed many miracles proving who He was. He said that He was God. But he said, I know that that's not enough because there need to be two or three witnesses. And so here I am, I myself. But if that's not enough, and I know that you require two or three, then let's continue. Again, I'll read verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. It takes two or three witnesses to confirm a truth. And Jesus understood the law. Jesus understands the rules. And he says, I know this. There is another that beareth witness of me, verse 32. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. They knew John. They remembered John. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Jesus doesn't need men to confirm that he is God. But he says, you know John. You've listened to John. John is telling of me. I have some verses of scripture that I would like to read for you that speaks of the witness that John the Baptist had for the Lord Jesus. And if you would turn to me with me to John chapter 1, John chapter 1 verse 15, John chapter 1 verse 15. And it tells us in this verse of Scripture, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Speaking of the Lord Jesus. Now we'll clarify that a little bit stronger. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. This is another man that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes all listened to and all studied was the book of Isaiah. And so not only had John confirmed and they saw John, but then John, when he was there preaching repentance and preaching the coming, John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, one that came before but proclaimed such a clear message of the coming Messiah, that he himself quoted Isaiah. And he said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And you could find that back in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Now, we also can go on the same page of my Bible, and we'll find verse 29, John chapter 1, verse 29. And again, the next day John seeth Jesus, this is John the Baptist, coming unto him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look how John the Baptist testified that this is God, and this is the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world that has come to take the sins away. Please do not miss this. Now, if you will turn to verse 36, John chapter 1, verse 36. And looking unto Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb. And see, maybe to you that doesn't mean too much because you haven't studied the Old Testament. But as you study the Old Testament, and as these Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, all the religious rulers, leaders of this day, the Jewish leaders, they understood completely when you spoke of a lamb, because a lamb meant sacrifice. A lamb meant something that you brought for an offering. And that offering was offered up unto the Lord Jesus. And they also understood that that offering, that lamb as it come, that it would be an innocent sacrifice, because that lamb had nothing to do with the sin of man, and yet that lamb was still offered as a sacrifice. And as that lamb was put to death, again there was the innocence of that sacrifice, and now we have the death of that sacrifice. We have something else here. We also have the shedding of blood. You see, when that sacrifice, that offering was given, each time those needs were met. It was always the way God wanted it to be done. That's the way, in order for it to be pleasing unto the Lord, it had to be by God's rules. There was always the innocent sacrifice was involved. There was always the death that had to come, and there was always the shedding of blood. Those all were the same in each one of the sacrifices as they were offered. And Jesus fulfilled that law, of course, and fulfilled that picture. And so now again, as we have in verse 36, and John says clearly, "Behold the Lamb of God." They would understand that better than you, because they understood what a lamb was, when it was offered as a sacrifice, what that meant. Now, whether they believed it or not was up to them. But they knew what it meant. They understood what it represented. And if you go back now to verse 34, John chapter 1, verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And they heard that. These people listened to the witness of John the Baptist. So we have now in these verses of Scripture, back in John chapter, or continue on in John chapter 5, and we have the first, it says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." It requires more than him just saying, "I am somebody." For him to say, "I am God," was not wrong. And he certainly was not lying. He was telling the truth. "I am God." But he didn't just come and say that and expect everyone to come and believe him. He also had, he had that witness of saying, "I am God." He had the witness of John, which we find in verse 33 now. Listen to this. "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." He knew what John said about him, John the Baptist, and he knew it was true. "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man." See, it wasn't necessary that he listen to the testimony of man. First of all, he said, "I bear witness of, I am who I say I am." But I know that's not enough. And now you know this man, John the Baptist, because you followed him at least for a season. And he testified of me. But I don't necessarily need to receive the testimony of man. "But these things I say that ye might be saved." He's lifting up to these people. He's telling them very carefully, "I am God." He is telling them very carefully, "John spoke of me." Let's see what's coming next in verse 35. "And he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." For a season. Just for a season, they followed him. Now, I hope that at some point in time in your life that you decided to come to church, and you decided to listen to the preacher. Maybe you went forward, maybe you were baptized, and maybe you joined the church. And that went on for a season, for a little while. And then all of a sudden you decided that maybe it wasn't right. Something wasn't right anyway. So you started to kind of go back to your own ways, and you kind of got to where you're not going to church right now. I can't say whether you're saved or not, but there was a multitude that followed John the Baptist for a season. They listened long enough to see what he said, but they missed what he said. And maybe that's where you're at today. If you're not in the house of God, if you're not studying the Word of God and fellowshipping with other believers in the local church, I'm not going to say you're lost, because you may not be lost, but I guarantee you're backslidden. And you cannot be in fellowship with God because you have missed something so sweet and so wonderful, and that is listening to the will of God. And he says, "Do not forsake the assembling." He tells us to search his word. Know the truth. Know the word of God. But you've neglected that because maybe you're as these Pharisees, and maybe you're as these folks that you, "He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." just for a season? I hope not. I hope that you've come by faith to Jesus and you've trusted in Him and you're willing to serve Him all of your days. That you don't just come for a season and look to see what's happening and maybe get excited for a little time, because I'm not sure that you're really saved. You know whether you are or not. You know whether the Holy Spirit is living within your heart. I don't. That's between you and God. You can fool me, but you can't fool God, and you can't fool yourself. You know that you're saved or you're not. So I ask today that you come confessing your sin and be saved, truly saved, if you're not. If you are and you've walked away for some reason, I ask that you return. I ask that you come into the house of God, that you find you a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church and get back to work. Get back into the fellowship of God. Get back into listening to the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God and get that heart stirred again. Please get it stirred. To you He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in His light. Let's look up John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Remember that shining light that John represented? He was a burning and shining light. That's because he was showing and proclaiming Jesus. Let's read this all together. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But then it goes on in verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John. But you know, and it continues, and we'll go with the next witness here very shortly. But as you see in John chapter 8, verse 12, that Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Will you look to the Lord Jesus and look to that light? Let's look back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And I hope you're turning there with me very quickly. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and says, I go, sir. And he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe on him. Are you one of those that have been in church all of your life and chose to neglect such a free gift of salvation? You've neglected Jesus. Will you please listen today? Will you please come to the Lord Jesus and be saved? Come to the cross of Calvary. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?